Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thank you so much for joining with us once again today as we worship God Almighty online. There's an awful lot happening in our service today, so we're going to have to get a move on to get everything fitted in, but I suppose at least you're at home and you've got plenty of time to listen to what's going on today. First of all, this is the first Sunday in Advent. We have four Sundays leading up to Christmas. Each one, we look ahead to the coming of Jesus Christ, the most wonderful event in human history. And so today, in this first Sunday of Advent, we start getting our thoughts together to look ahead to Jesus coming. With that in place, we're also going to be having a special series of blog Bible studies over the next month leading up to Christmas. So each morning, if you look on the blog, there'll be a little Bible study there. And our plan is, throughout this whole period, is to look to Jesus Christ, because there is so much going on in the world around us, so much uncertainty, so much that we just cannot fathom, that the only place that we can look with any certainty is to Jesus Christ. So the plan is that we lift our eyes up from the world and we look to Jesus and we fix our gaze on Jesus. So our theme today is all about elevation, about lifting up to God. And we've got this choice that we'll be talking about a little bit later on in the service between elevation or excavation. We can either be lifted up to meet with God, or we can be excavating on the ground, digging down into the dirt and missing what God is doing in the world around us. So that's our theme for today, this first Sunday of Advent. But it's also our theme for these little Bible studies throughout Advent. View it as an Advent calendar, if you like, that each morning you open it up and you listen. And what we're going to do is, we're going to look at the book of Hebrews. So by the time we get to Christmas, we will have read through the whole book of Hebrews. But more importantly than that, we'll have met with Jesus and we'll see Jesus. And our theme is, Christmas is different, but Jesus is better. And that's what we find out throughout Hebrews. Jesus is better. That each page that we read, each little section that the writer of the Hebrews brings us, Jesus is better than whatever it else we're looking at. So, in a world of COVID, Jesus is better. In a world of uncertainty, Jesus is better. In a world where we're putting our hope and our faith in all sorts of places, Jesus is better. So join with me each day. And if you aren't able to access it online each day on a Wednesday, you can telephone the phone line and then you will be able to listen to the studies for that particular week all in one block. So do that and please join with us for that. There's also a lot of other things happening over this Advent period as well. The moderator is calling us to pray as a Presbyterian church over this weekend, and we're going to extend that into this week and pray each day, guided by what the moderator has called us to pray about, and we'll speak a little bit more about that later on in the service. Also, the moderator is launching an appeal to help us think beyond ourselves at this time of year. We've also got our United Appeal from our Presbyterian Church. And of course, we've still got our church finances as well to think about at this time of year. But then we've got something else that's really exciting that's happening, something very unusual. In the lead up to Christmas, indeed the week before Christmas, Tuesday the 22nd of December, we have a drive-in cinema happening in our church car park. The Port Stewart Community Association would normally have a Christmas party for the children of the town down in the town hall, but obviously with social distancing and all that's taking place, that can't happen this year. So they've decided to have a drive-in cinema for families aimed at primary school children, And they're coming to our church car park on the 22nd of December, and we are showing the most remarkable film. It's a film called The Star. It's an animated telling of the Nativity, of Jesus coming into this world. And it's animated, it's got songs, it's got humor, it's fun for all the family, and yet it tells the most incredible story. And throughout the telling of the story, there are stories of redemption, there are stories of salvation, there are stories of working out God's plan for your life and what is better, to do what the world wants you to do or to do what God wants you to do. So that is very exciting, and it's open to anyone in the area to come along and watch the film. And do pray about that the families in the area would come and that they would have a great time, but they also hear the truth of the gospel at Christmas. So back to today, we're thinking about elevation or excavation. Are we going to be lifted up to meet with God, or are we going to remain excavating in the ground, digging in the dirt, ignoring what God has to say to us? And I'm going to finish the sermon today by quoting from a Salvation Army hymn. I don't know if any of you know it, but I'm going to quote from it right at the start as well, because it takes this theme of being elevated, of climbing up to meet with Jesus. The first verse and the chorus go like this: Saviour, lead me up the mountain, where the Lord alone is seen, where we hear the voice from heaven, where the air is pure and clean. Lead me higher up the mountain, give me fellowship with thee. In thy light I see the fountain, and the blood it cleanses me. That's my desire today for each one of us as we worship together, that Jesus Christ would lead us up the mountain where we can meet with him and him alone, where we realize the fountain that's there of his blood shed for us, poured out to take away our sins, and that we would meet with him and glorify him. So let's follow that theme throughout our service today, and let us climb that mountain to meet with Almighty God. We're going to pray together now, and then after we pray, we're going to sing a great Advent hymn of the coming of Jesus Christ. Come, thou long expected Jesus. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence today, and we give you thanks that you are the Almighty, and that at this time of year in Advent, as we approach Christmas, we think of the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Saviour. Lord, we have so much planned for these next few weeks, and we thank you that we are able to worship you and praise you. We pray, Lord, as we work our way through Hebrews, that you would reveal yourself to us, and that we would see that Jesus is better than everything else. We ask, Lord, for this time of concentrated prayer in our Presbyterian church, that we would glorify you through it. We think ahead to the drive-in cinema at Christmas, and we pray that the good news of the gospel would be made clear to all who come along to see it. And Lord, as we worship you week by week, may we truly climb that mountain where you alone can be seen. May we meet with you and realize that you are the Almighty, that you are the great Savior, that you are the one who is to be trusted. Amen. as we meet together today online to worship, obviously we have had to close our building today because of the government regulations. And it is such a shame with so much planned and so much happening over this next month that we're not able to meet in person. But we do understand the need for the restrictions to be brought into place, and we do pray that the numbers would come down and that people would be kept safe because of our actions. Looking ahead towards Christmas, that even if the government does allow us to meet together, there won't be a service on Christmas Day here in the building. There will be one online which you can watch from home, but we've decided this year not to have a gathering on Christmas Day, just simply to keep everyone as safe as possible. Also, there will be no carol service this year because of the restrictions on singing. But again, we do plan to have a morning service on the 20th of December, And then also, we plan to have an online carol service with various people taking part and Eileen playing some special music for that service. So do keep in touch and stay aware of what's taking place over these next few weeks. Now, the moderator has called us to pray, and he has recorded a little video telling us about his reasons for prayer. The call to prayer is for this whole weekend. Now, obviously, we're now into the Sunday, depending on what time you are watching this at. But the call to prayer can work today and then also into this week. So you can find the various suggestions for prayer on the blog last Wednesday or attached to the service online, and you can follow along. We're going to, after the moderator tells us about the prayer, we're then going to use some of those suggestions for prayer now.
This is an important message for the whole church. We need to pray. These are times of deep challenge and crisis for the whole of our society. And we in the churches are facing our share of demands as we have had to reinvent almost everything we've been doing in recent months. As I'm recording this, our congregations in the Republic are still closed for worship face to face, while in Northern Ireland, the restrictions on our activities are constantly under review. It's a very rapidly changing picture in both jurisdictions. So, as part of a group of initiatives we're launching under the broad title of At Home for Christmas, I've decided to call the entire Presbyterian family across this island to pray over the weekend of the 27th to the 29th of November, which of course includes the first Sunday in Advent. Now, some details of suggestions for prayer are included in a special weekend extra edition of Let's Pray, and this is available for download from the front of the PCI website. You'll find it as soon as you log on. As I've said, many of our congregations can't meet in the normal way, and I also know that many others are using Zoom or other online conferencing apps to help them get together. So can I encourage you to make special space over the weekend of the 27th to the 29th of November at some point to pray for our land, for our partners overseas who have been devastated by these events, for the big decisions facing us as Brexit approaches at the end of December, and for our commitment as the people of God to be faithful to his calling and command, to be his witnesses in the world, come what may. Let us as a people call out to God, united in this purpose. Thank you.
So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you with heavy hearts today because of all that has taken place because of COVID over these last months. And so, Lord, we pray for what has happened with COVID in this land. We pray for the healthcare staff and the hospitals and all that they have been doing. We pray, Lord, for all the frontline staff, because many have had to work under exceptional conditions. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with them. There are many people who are weary because of the pressures that they have faced at work, because of all the extra regulations and precautions. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be with them today. We pray, Lord, for those who have suffered because of COVID, and we ask that you would come alongside. We pray for those who have been bereaved during this time and have suffered greatly. And Lord, we bring all these people to you in prayer. Today, Lord, we also pray about Brexit. It's still not clear what the final outcome is going to be, especially between the United Kingdom and Ireland and the European Union. And therefore, Lord, we pray for politicians and civil servants who will have so many decisions to make. And we ask, Lord, that they would look to you for guidance in all that takes place. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who is sovereign, that you are in control of all things, and so therefore we trust in you today. We pray also today, Lord, for the moderator's appeal. We pray for South Sudan and for the Democratic Republic of Congo. We pray, Lord, for those individuals who have been affected by COVID in those nations. We pray for the churches there as they seek to be a witness and a help. And we pray for government. We pray also, Lord, for the pastoral needs locally, that as we as churches seek to reach out and to help those around us who are in need at this time, not just because of COVID, but because of all the other things that happen in normal life. We pray, Lord, that as churches we might be caring, that we might be able to minister, that we might be able to share your grace. Lord God, we give you thanks today that your word, the Bible, contains many stories of times when God's people needed to adapt to new things and unwelcome change. And we pray, Lord, that we would learn those lessons today and that we would trust in you. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us in the future as you have been with us in the past. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to listen to you and follow your guidance and lead others as we go forward. Lord God, we thank you for the vaccines that are being produced. And we pray that as those are given out to those who are most vulnerable in society first, that it would allow society to begin to function again. But Lord, we do pray that we would not go back to the way things were. Always rushing, always busy, always having too little time. Help us, Lord, to adapt. And to seek you and to trust you at all times and to find your leading the way forward. So, Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Came into a world that was resurrection, filled with your passion for all the people who live on the earth. From every nation shall be gathered, millions redeemed shall be Jesus' reward. Then he will turn and say to his Father, truly my suffering was worth it all.
So in this first Sunday of Advent, our theme is being elevated, elevated, going up to God. And it came about because I was listening to a podcast from Desi Alexander, who teaches at Queen's and at Union College. And Desi was speaking about a theology of elevation. And he was saying that in the Bible, there's this idea that predominates throughout the Bible that whenever you go up, you're going closer to God. You're getting closer to God. You're getting near to him. But whenever you go down, you're moving further away from God. And of course, we've got the idea of heaven as an ultimate destination, of the heavens in the height. And we always think about going up to heaven. And of course, we then have the opposite of eternal punishment, which is in hell. And we always think of going down and descending into hell. But the whole way through the Bible, we have this idea of this theology of elevation, of being lifted up and coming to God. So I thought on this first Sunday of Advent, we would explore this a little bit and find out some of the detail about it so that as we approach Christmas, we might get closer to God and we might be elevated. And that's what we're going to be thinking about each day during Advent, that Jesus is better, focusing on Jesus and finding out who Jesus is. So the two alternatives that are before us today are elevation or excavation. Either we can be elevated up to God or we can be involved in excavation. We can be down on the ground in the dirt. We can be tunneling about like a mole, as it were, on the ground, missing what God has in store for us, just being caught up with what's around us. And there are many in the world today who are content with excavation, but we want to come today to be elevated to God. So that's where we're heading to. And of course, if we think about it, we're going to start right at the very beginning of the Bible. There's an awful lot to get through today, so I'm going to move through this quickly, but we might return to some of these themes in a few weeks' time. So let's start off with Eden, the Garden of Eden. And until this idea came to mind, I'd never really thought about Eden being a place of elevation. I often think of the Garden of Eden as being in a valley. But we're told that the four rivers flow out of Eden. So Eden would then tend to be in an elevated position. It would tend to be on a mountain because that's where rivers start, in the mountain, and they flow out of the mountain down into the valleys. And Ezekiel actually talks about Eden being a mountain in Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel is talking about Israel and saying, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. So Ezekiel actually refers to Eden as being on a mountain, Mount Eden, as being elevated. So that's where we start in the Bible. And we're going to go the whole way through the Bible till we get to Revelation and we have Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven for us to dwell in for eternity. Both of these things being elevated, both of these things being on the height, and we work our way through between them. There are other significant high places within the Bible as well. We're not going to mention all of them by any stretch of the imagination today, but just a few of them. Mount Ararat, where Noah came and the ark settled there. Genesis 8, verse 4, where we're told about the ark coming to rest on Mount Ararat after the flood. And again, after all the destruction, there is this high place of being near to God and of being in God's presence. We then also have the Tower of Babel, just a few chapters later, where the people decide that they're going to make a name for themselves. So they build this tower, as it were, to climb up and be greater than God. But we're told in Genesis 11:15, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. God had to come down to see this effort at self-building, of self-elevation. And self-elevation does not work. We need to be lifted by God. We need to be brought up by God rather than doing it ourselves. Now, whenever the Israelites left slavery in Egypt and they went into the wilderness, there was this promise that one day they would go to the holy mountain of God. And that's looking ahead to Mount Zion, it's looking ahead to Jerusalem, it's looking ahead to the end of time. But in the meantime, they went to Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai was a holy place. It was a place of meeting with God. In fact, Mount Sinai was such a special place for the Israelites that it was Moses who went up the mountain. And when Moses would go up the mountain to meet with God face to face, he would come back down again and his face would be shining with the glory of God, that he would have to wear a veil. Nobody was allowed to climb the mountain while Moses was up it. So if we read from Exodus 19 and verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So this high elevated place, Mount Sinai, this holy mountain, was a place where God was going to come down and meet with his people. So his people had to be ready. They had to consecrate themselves for a couple of days before God would come. And then Moses is told in verse 12, put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. This is God's presence. You can't just come in lightly. You've got to respect God. And they're to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. So if someone goes up the mountain, you can't run after them and pull them back down again. Instead, arrows are to be fired at them or stones thrown at them to stop them going on this journey of self-elevation. They've got to wait until God comes down and is with them. And so this idea of meeting with God is on God's terms, not our terms. And we must make sure that we don't try and do things on our own. So Mount Sinai is the first place that they come to, but they're always looking ahead to the promised land. They're looking ahead to the place that God has prepared for them. And of course, Mount Zion, the actual Jerusalem where they would go and dwell and have as their capital, but then also Mount Zion to come, the new Jerusalem from the new heaven coming down for us to dwell in. So we have this idea, elevation or excavation. Are we going to be content with the things of this world and just excavate around? Or do we want to be elevated by God so that we meet with him and we come into his presence? And this is the message of Advent. This is the first Sunday in Advent. But as we approach Christmas, we're thinking of Jesus coming down to this earth, being here, living among us. And that is what we want now. That's the desire of my heart for you. And that should be your desire today, that you would meet with Jesus, that you would climb high with him and dwell with him and be in his presence rather than being content with what's on the ground here and now. But as well as this idea of being elevated to get close to God, there's also the idea in the Bible of going down whenever we're far from God. We read earlier from Jonah chapter 2, Jonah's prayer. And if you look carefully at that chapter, you can see the number of times that Jonah mentions the depths and deep and going away from God. But we find out that every step of the way as Jonah was turning away from God, he was going down each time. So in verse 3 of Jonah chapter 1, Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. And paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He was turning his back on God. Instead of climbing the mountain to be close to God, he was going down each step of the way. In verse 5, whenever Jonah is on the ship, Jonah had gone below deck. Not only had he gone down to Joppa and got on the boat, but now he was going below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. You can see the imagery here is all about going down, going further from God, going away from God. And then in verse 12 of Jonah chapter 1, he tells the people that if they want to survive, the sailors, if they want to survive, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. So Jonah is going to be thrown into the depths of the sea so that calm is restored on the journey. And then in chapter 2 that we read together, and go back and read it now, you'll see all those references to deep and depth where Jonah is turning from God. And that's what happens when we turn from God. We go down, 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 further and further away from God. And yet God is calling us and wants us to return to him. Think in the New Testament as well. I'm just taking a couple of examples, but Peter in the New Testament. Remember whenever Jesus was walking on the water and Peter wanted to come out of the boat and to meet with him. And Jesus said in Matthew 14, verse 29, come, Jesus said. And Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. There was Peter. He was walking on the water, but as he lifted his eyes away from Jesus, he began to sink. As he focused on the wind and the waves, down he went further away, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And that's where we are in this Advent season. Let's not go down. Let's not fall away from God, but let's cry out to him, Lord, save me, so that he can reach out his hand and pick us up and hold us in safety. Salvation in the Bible is always about being lifted up and being brought higher. The psalmist says in Psalm 61 and verse 2, lead me to the rock that is higher than you. That we want to go to that high place with God and we ask him to lead us. It's not our own effort that allows us to climb up those heights and to reach the dizzy heights and achieve it all on our own. We need God to lift us up. We cannot do it ourselves. So this idea of climbing and being elevated requires God to do the elevation so that we can get close to him. Again in the Psalms, we read from Psalm 40. And Psalm 40 is a wonderful testimony of the psalmist talking about what God has done for him and his salvation. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me, heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. This is salvation. That God reaches down and lifts us whenever we have gone so low that we cannot go any lower, whenever we realize that we cannot get ourselves out of the mess, God comes and reaches us where we are and lifts us up. That is what salvation is all about. And think in the New Testament, I'm not going to list every single occasion, but just a few so that you get a flavor of it and so that you've got something to think about this week of all the various people. Think of Zacchaeus. What did Zacchaeus do when he wanted to come and meet Jesus? He climbed a tree. It's a lovely story that we hear as children. It's a great idea of this little man climbing up a tree, but it's significant because it's what Jesus does. He takes the lowly and he raises them up. And there was Zacchaeus, who was so low, lived all his life low, excavating around the ground, and yet he is elevated as he climbs that tree and he meets with Jesus. There's more significance to that tree than perhaps we realize. Luke 19, verse 4, he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. And there we have the idea of being elevated, the meeting with God. And think again in the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus sat down with his disciples and spoke the most wonderful words in that sermon. He began with the Beatitudes and then goes on to teach them about how they're to be disciples. And that is done on the mountain. Matthew 5, verse 1, the sermon begins, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him. Of course, there were crowds, so Jesus goes up the mountain so that he can survey the crowds and speak to as many of them as possible. But there's this theology of elevation, of Jesus going up and the disciples coming up and sitting with him and the people coming and hearing him. It's like it's like Sinai again, where God comes down on the mountain and it's a holy moment as the people gather to hear what God has to say. And then think again in the New Testament, Matthew 17, about the Mount of Transfiguration. We're up on that mountain, Jesus is transfigured. And there is a special moment when the disciples that are chosen hear what happens. So in Matthew 17, in the opening three verses, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. It's significant that the transfiguration didn't take place just along the road, that he didn't just take them aside for this to happen, or it didn't just happen in front of everyone. He took them up a mountain for it to happen. And there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. He took them up the mountain for this to happen. And then, of course, we look ahead to the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. And that New Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven. And the New Jerusalem is a city built high. John is taken up to the height so that he can see this city. And he says in Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. So every time we're striving, where Eden began on a mountain, the New Jerusalem is on a height. And as we go there to dwell there, we come close to God and we spend time with him. So as you read your Bible, as you look through the pages of the Bible, try to find other occasions where people have been lifted up and where God comes and meets with them. Think about your own life and how you could describe that process of coming close to God by being lifted by Him out of the mud and mire and feet set on a firm rock. I began the service today by quoting that old Salvation Army hymn, and I think I found a version that you can listen to after I quote it. It's not the best quality in the world, but it's the only one I could find, and yet these words are special whenever we think about this idea of elevation. Listen to these words carefully. Saviour, lead me up the mountain, where the Lord alone is seen, where we hear the voice from heaven, where the air is pure and clean. Lead me higher up the mountain, give me fellowship with thee. In thy light I see the fountain, and the blood that cleanses me. What a prayer to utter today. That Jesus Christ would lead us up the mountain, that He would take us and lift us and elevate us so that we come into God's presence, so that we see the fountain of blood that cleanses us. Is that your prayer today? If it is, sing this hymn or listen to this hymn today. Goes on in the next couple of verses. Higher up, where light increases, far above all earthly strife, where the strain of effort ceases, where in Christ we reign in life. Saviour, keep me up the mountain, pressing on toward the goal, till as one we share thine image and thy love and grace extol. We don't just want to go up the mountain for a moment and see the view and then return. We want to stay up the mountain in Christ's presence and be with Him for all eternity. So in a moment, we're going to sing Love Came Down at Christmas, because we realize in this Advent season that all of our striving doesn't allow us to climb as high as we need to climb. We need a Saviour to come down. And so love came down to pick us up, to elevate us, so that we might be in God's presence. Service then, my prayer for you is that you would be elevated by our Lord Jesus Christ in this week ahead, that you would climb the mountain with Him and spend all of this week high on the mountain in His presence, learning from Him. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, and we pray now that Jesus would come into each one of our lives and elevate us into your presence, that He would lift us up from the mud and the mire and set our feet on a high place so that we might be with you for all eternity. And therefore we pray this now from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.